A stunning new 3D film, Flight of the Butterflies, tells the story of monarch butterfly migration.
Every spring, monarch butterflies arrive here in the Texas Hill Country. It's one stage in a year-long cycle that will take at least 3 generations. Each generation must survive through egg, caterpillar, chrysalis, and adult butterfly.
And we get to see those stages in the film, quite something. And while most monarchs live under a month, the third or super generation of monarchs live 8 times longer. But where do they go from Texas? What is their final migratory destination? Well, Canadian scientist Fred Urquhart and his wife Nora dedicated 40 years to finding out, including in the 1950s, devising a system to tag butterflies with small stickers and appeal to the public for help in spotting them.
We formed the Insect Migration Association. We asked for volunteers. They were known as citizen scientists, and our tagging efforts as the Great Butterfly Hunt. By the 1960s, we had over 4,000 helpers.
The information from those citizen scientists led the Urquharts to West Texas. They moved there in 1970 and traveled 14,000 miles across the state, but
we found none. Despite spending 2 decades tagging with all those good people helping us, I still had no evidence of the missing monarchs. It was like a butterfly black hole.
An actor actually portraying Fred Urquhart, he's died. But as you heard, he, his wife, and their citizen scientists were able to track migrating monarchs from all across the country to Texas, and then they lost their trail. And that's where Catalina Aguado Trail comes in. She lives now in Austin, Texas, where we've reached her. But Catalina, take us back. At the time of our story, it's 1975. You were living in Mexico with your now late husband, Ken. He called the Urquharts after he read an article in a local newspaper in Mexico. Why? What prompted him to call the Urquharts?
He and I had been talking about butterflies since I collect butterflies, and we used to go to the Valle de Bravo area to collect butterflies for my collection. He then said, oh, there is an article from a doctor in Canada. He is looking for the monarch butterflies. And we embarked on that beautiful experience.
Yeah, because after Ken called, the Urquharts hired both of you to look for the butterflies, to see if their migration somehow came to Mexico. There were 2 years of dead ends, but then you had an inspiration on the Day of the Dead. This is November 1st. This is the day in which Mexicans honor their dead with festivals in local cemeteries. What happened?
I saw some butterflies flying about, and I remember the folklore of the souls of little children coming back from heaven to visit the area and the family.
As butterflies?
The folklore says palomas, and it translates to English into moths. So as I saw those butterflies flying about, I thought, let's look in this area, and that is when I pointed to Pelon.
Pelon is one of the mountaintops, Cerro Pelon in particular, because you thought, wow, there are a lot of butterflies drifting through here. Where are they going? You and Ken decide to go look. What did you find?
Oh, at first there were just a few flying about. It was a very cold day, but as we walked, I began to see more and more, covering the trees completely from trunk to top. Just a wonderful, sort of eerie experience. I could not speak from excitement and feeling of dread, as if I was invading their privacy.
The new film, Flight of the Butterflies, reenacts that scene when you walk in, and it takes us to the top of Cerro Pelon. It's amazing. I mean, these butterflies, there's hundreds of millions of them. This is their final migration. It's just, I mean, that must have been spine-tingling to be there.
It was a humbling experience. It was astonishing.
Well, and then, of course, you and Ken get to tell this news to Fred and Nora Urquhart. They come and go with you to Cerro Pelon, and You were there when he, you know, sat down in astonishment. I mean, here was his life's work. You'd found the end of the migratory path of the monarch butterfly, and he gets to see this, and he sits down, and there at his feet, a butterfly tagged. Is that true?
Yes, it is. He was walking about admiring the butterflies, and he bent down to pick up a butterfly, and that is when we realized that he was one of the tagged butterflies. That was the PS397, famous butterfly, that was tagged in Minnesota.
A butterfly tagged in Minnesota, 397, there at his feet, at the top of a mountain in Mexico. I don't imagine you can look at a monarch the same way ever again. I mean, you're looking at a monarch in Texas and maybe thinking, have a nice trip to Mexico.
That is exactly right. They visit me here. I have a very close, loving relationship with them. I actually do talk to them and say hello. Maybe I'll see you over there someday.
Catalina Aguado Trail, a citizen scientist who helped track the monarch migration. Catalina, thanks so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Well, since Catalina's incredible discovery at the top of Cerro Pelon in 1976, scientists have found about a dozen more overwintering sites in Mexico. And Dr. Chip Taylor is continuing the Urquhart's work as founder of the conservation group Monarch Watch. And he joins us now from KANU Public Radio in Lawrence, Kansas. Dr. Taylor, Chip, you know, a 2,000-mile migration is incredible, but do we know why the monarchs finish it on these specific mountain peaks?
That's a good question, and we don't really have a good answer for that, but we have speculation. If they're using celestial information, that is, if they're using day length changes and changes in the sky, by the time they get to Mexico in mid-November, the amount of change that's actually occurring in the sky drops down to almost zero, and that's where they stop. If they're using celestial signals, they can't go any further because there aren't any celestial signals that are meaningful that they can follow further south.
But there's still the question of, you know, why the one peak instead of the other one right to the left?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about that
yeah.
in the sense that we have an area here in Lawrence where we tag a lot of butterflies in the fall. And what we find is that the butterflies that we tag on one Saturday afternoon end up going to all of those overwintering sites so that by the time they have left here and arrived in Mexico, they are scattered over all of those sites in Mexico. And that's a good thing because it means if one of those overwintering sites gets wiped out, we don't lose butterflies from a specific area.
Chip Taylor, an advisor on the new IMAX film Flight of the Butterflies. I've been online. I can't believe how many of you track monarch butterflies. So if you do, let us know at hereandnow.org, where you'll also see pictures of monarchs, including scores of them on those Mexican mountaintops. More with Chip in 1 minute, Here and Now. Welcome back to our look at monarch butterflies. The new 3D film Flight of the Butterflies tells the story of Canadian scientist Fred Urquhart and his wife Nora and how they helped discover the 2,000-mile migration of the monarch butterfly. The visuals are breathtaking. Our guest, Dr. Chip Taylor, said he wanted to reach for his butterfly net as the butterflies appear to come off the screen. Chip is founder of the conservation organization Monarch Watch, and like the Urquharts, he worked with citizen scientists to track monarch butterflies. So, Chip, we heard about the small sticky labels the Urquharts used to put on butterflies to track them. How has that changed?
Well, you know, when we started this, we used Fred Urquhart's technique. We put a tag over the leading edge of the wing, and then we just found that, gosh, there's got to be a better way to do this. And so it took us 2 or 3 years, but we finally came up with a tag that goes on the underside of the wing, and it looks like a price tag that you'd see on something made from China. And I got to tell you that I once got a call from a woman in Oklahoma who said she found this beautiful butterfly by her car in the morning when she walked out. Just looked perfect, and she turned it over and she saw our tag on the bottom of it, and her first thought was, oh my God, made in China.
It didn't say made in China.
No, of course not. It was
like
one
it.
Of our tags,
yeah.
But you know, that's the kind of tag it is. It's...
Well, and by the way, what do you want people to do if they find one of these? You send out, what, 200,000 tags a year, 10,000 people?
Yeah, we send out about 200,000 tags a year. When people find one of these tags, they have information on the tag. They can either email us or phone us. But the fact is, the tags are so good now that most of the butterflies actually make it all the way to Mexico. We don't get very many recoveries within the United States. Most of the recoveries are down in Mexico.
And by the way, you know, we see in the film early on a young Fred Urquhart running around with his butterfly net. Do you support that? You know, I don't think it's as popular maybe as it was, but do you think people should trap butterflies?
hey, yeah, that's how it got started.
And that's okay?
No, I mean, I don't discourage that sort of thing. I mean, we have to have exploratory behavior in children. We discourage exploratory behavior of that sort. We're not connecting people the right way to nature. Yeah. We really need to immerse kids in nature a lot more than we have been doing. And collecting butterflies or insects, learning about them, I think that's the way it should be done.
But what are you learning now that Fred would be astonished at?
He really didn't have enough data to learn some of the patterns, and that's the thing that our program has been able to provide. We've had over 1 million butterflies tagged now, and we've had about 16,000 recoveries, and that tells us a lot about the migration. For example, we know the timing and pace of the migration. That is, I can tell you when they're going to get to Austin, Texas, 5 years from now. I can tell you when they're going to cross the border into Mexico. I can tell you when they're going to arrive at the overwintering sites. So the migration is very predictable, even though the weather changes from year to year. This migration moves at a pretty steady pace.
Well, and why do we care about that information?
Well, you know, this is an organism that is under threat because of changing environments. And in a changing planet, we have to be aware of the conditions that are normal. And then if we see abnormalities forming, then we have to understand. I mean, we had a very abnormal year this year, and it really affected the monarchs. We had the hottest March ever recorded, and that had a tremendous impact on the movement of the monarchs in the spring, and it had a very negative impact because they moved too far north too soon. So there are a lot of things that you need to understand about a species in order to protect it. Besides, it's just doggone interesting.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, but talking about how, not endangered, I don't know if that's an appropriate word, but how the monarch butterfly is threatened. You know, not enough milkweed. We see in the film, as farmland expands, the milkweed which they need to eat and where they lay their eggs, that gets mowed down by tractors. You mentioned drought. So you're trying to, get people to grow these monarch gardens to attract them, give them a space to be?
Yes, that's correct. In 2005, I realized the population was declining, and I said, you know, we've really got to do something about this. We need to engage the public. So we started a program called Monarch Way Stations. We now have about 6,000 registered monarch way stations around the country, actually around the world. We have several in other countries. But we need to do much better than that. And so we started a program in 2010 called Bring Back the Monarchs, and then that program is aimed at large-scale restoration. So we're trying to gear up to restore milkweeds in a lot of places from which they've been eliminated. We need to stop the mowing and herbicide use that is so prevalent in this country.
I'm already thinking, milkweed, where can I plant that?
Just give me a call.
Yeah. You talk about what the butterfly might mean, and that brings a couple of thoughts to mind. There's that famous Ray Bradbury story. Someone goes back in time 60 million years, they accidentally step on a butterfly, and it changes history forever. And then there's also the butterfly effect. You know, we hear that there's a theoretical example of how when a butterfly flaps its wings several weeks later in another part of the world, there might be a hurricane. You know, it has something to do with chaos theory. But what do you think the importance of a butterfly is?
If we eliminate the habitats for monarch butterflies, we're taking out the habitats of a lot of other species, including the pollinators that provide the pollination that's necessary to produce the fruits, nuts, berries, and seeds and foliage that support most of our mammals and birds out there. So these things are all connected out there. I mean, so the point of the story that you're telling is that there are connections, and we don't understand those connections. So flapping a wing in China somewhere is not necessarily going to make an impact someplace else, but it points out that there are connections almost everywhere that you look.
Well, and butterflies might join the cautionary tales that we're hearing about pollinators.
Well, one of the things about monarch habitat is that it overlaps with the habitats of all the pollinators, and we're talking about dozens and dozens of species of bees. And if we lose those pollinators along with the monarch habitat, we have lost a lot because they're pollinating about 70% of the native vegetation out there. So my pitch is protect the monarchs, and we will have the effect of protecting the pollinators and protecting the other forms of wildlife that are dependent on those pollinators.
What do you think the legacy of the Urquharts is, devoting their lives to trying to figure out where monarchs go?
Well, they're like so many scientists and like so many dedicated people that are on a quest. You know, the people that are on a quest are just amazing, and they're an inspiration.
When you as a scientist are reminded of that moment, you probably knew about it. When he's sitting there, he finally comes to this place in Mexico where the monarch butterflies go, and he looks down and he sees the one that was tagged. He sees that number at his feet. Is that kind of a moment that any scientist would just give anything for?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are the moments that you never anticipate. And, at the opening at the Smithsonian last week, I met the young man who put that tag on that butterfly. And I said, my, how you've changed. But
really? He's in the film. Of course, he's a young boy. And I think the number was 397 or something
like
that.
Yeah, right. And I got an email the other day asking me if that butterfly still existed and where it might be. And I said, my goodness, I have no idea. I don't know whether Fred kept that butterfly. Wouldn't that make a wonderful kind of timepiece for this sort of discovery to have that butterfly preserved?
But meanwhile, how did that young boy, I presume now a grown man, how did he feel about his part in this?
I think he's really elated to lawyer now and quite a grown man for sure.
It just goes to, the other legacy of Fred Urquhart, the civilian scientist.
Yeah, citizen science is what it's all about. It's what we do with our tagging program. It's what Fred did with his tagging program. It's what we're kind of doing with our Monarch Way Station program. It's kind of what we're doing by working with nature centers and native plant societies and all sorts of other groups around the country trying to get them to plant milkweed. Yeah, we got to get the citizens involved.
Dr. Chip Taylor, he mentioned Monarch Watch. He's the founder. It's an organization that raises awareness about the conservation of monarch butterflies, speaking to us about the film Flight of the Butterflies. Chip, Dr. Taylor, thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much, Robin. Nice to talk to you.
And by the way, Flight of the Butterflies is in limited release around the country. To find out where, go to hereandnow.org. I've been online following some of these migration sites and Twitter streams. And here's Trey Graham tweeting, I'm about to see that IMAX documentary about the migration of the monarch butterfly. Clearly, the NPR-est thing I'll do all weekend. Hereandnow.org will have a trailer and pictures. Send us yours of butterflies. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.